Well, good morning, everybody. If you have a Bible, please grab it now. There's some small group notes. I'll leave them on the front here for those who want them later. We're going to be looking at lots of different scriptures this morning, so have your Bibles ready. We're going to start in Romans chapter 12, which is on page 1139, if you have one of the red church Bibles. And once you've found that, keep your finger there and also look up 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is on page 1153. We're in the middle of a series looking at life in the Spirit. That's the grand overall title. And this term we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit that God gives to his people. And today we're looking at this one, the spiritual gift of teaching. So let's start in Romans chapter 12 at verse 6, where we read about this gift. Paul writes, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve." And here it is. "If his gift is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 27, we read this, "Now you, people of God, are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles?" It's a rhetorical question. No. "Are all prophets?" No. "Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts." Keep your Bibles handy. We're going to be looking at lots of different references this morning. So roll your sleeves up, ready for a bit of work. We think about this gift, this spiritual gift of teaching. And the first thing I wanted to think about is, well, how do we recognize it? What is it that we are talking about? So talking of recognizing, I wonder if you can recognize who this is. The person on the left. You'll all know the person on the right, because that's Emily Fuller. Who hasn't changed a bit, has she? The other person is my dad, Keith David Fuller. And he taught me a huge amount. Along with my mum, he taught me to walk. He taught me to talk. He taught me how to ride a bike. He taught me how to read a map and find my way around the countryside if we're out on a country walk. He taught me how to read. He taught me how to shave. And I can still remember all of those things. He taught me well. So does that mean that he had the spiritual gift of teaching? Is that what Paul's talking about here? Actually, I don't think it is. In addition to all those things as my dad, for most of his adult life, he worked as a teacher. That was his profession. He was in the teaching profession. And he became a very senior teacher. He was a head teacher. And for the final part of his career, he was a specialist in teaching children with special educational needs in the county of Worcestershire where we lived. He was good at what he did as a teacher. He died shortly after he retired from teaching. And many of his colleagues and ex-pupils came to his funeral and they told us that he was fantastic at what he did as a professional teacher. So is that what the Bible's talking about here when it talks about the spiritual gift of teaching? Again, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because I had some amazing teachers through my life in school, in university, who were really, really good at what they did, and they taught me a huge amount that I can still remember today, and I imagine most of us, if not all of us, would say the same. But, you know, most of them didn't know the Lord. The majority of them were not Christians at all. Many of them would even deny that God exists. And so what they had is not this spiritual gift of teaching that Paul is talking about today. They had undoubted talent and skill as teachers. And I believe that that is part of God's general blessing on the earth, on the people of the earth. His common grace, if you like. Just as the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, we're told, aren't we, in God's grace, so we'll find a talent for teaching amongst all kinds of different people. And all good things come from God. He has put that talent in them, in many of you. But I don't believe that's what Paul's talking about here when he talks about the spiritual gift of teaching. When God's people have a talent for teaching and use it for his glory, it is amazing. And those of you who work as teachers, we want to continue to pray for you and cheer you on that you will do the very best that you can, because you can be a blessing to generation after generation. But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here with the spiritual gift of teaching. It's something different even to that. I think what he's talking about here is a spiritual gift of teaching the truths of God, where the Holy Spirit enables a person to teach God's word, to teach God's truth, to teach what God has revealed about himself and his purposes in this world in such a way that the people being taught hear the words of God, not the words of men and women. Can you see the difference between the two? And I believe we see it highlighted in the life of Jesus himself, who was undoubtedly a gifted teacher. Right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus, in his own words, quoting from Isaiah, said this about himself: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me and has anointed me to teach, to preach, to proclaim." That's part of what Jesus was sent to do. At the beginning of Mark's gospel, we read these words: "Jesus and his new disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law." Again, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we read these words: "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one with authority and not as their teachers of the law." These people had been taught all their lives. They'd learned a huge amount from their teachers of the law, and then they encountered Jesus, a man anointed, gifted by the Spirit to teach, and they realized there's something different here. This man has an authority. His teaching has an incisiveness, a clarity. This is someone who speaks the very words of God that touch our hearts, not just inform our minds. They heard someone with the spiritual gift of teaching the truth of God. Just need to pick up the rest of my notes here. Now, was that just Jesus? Because Jesus obviously is unique as the Son of God. What about normal people? Well, in Acts chapter 4, we see something similar about a different group of people. And here it's the teachers themselves who see the difference. Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, have been healing people and teaching people about Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, we read this: "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the teachers of the law, the religious leaders, begin to question Peter and John about the healings they've been doing and the things that they've been teaching. And Peter speaks to them and says, 'The things that we are doing in the power of the risen Jesus.' That is what is healing people and transforming people's lives." And then in 4:13, we read these words, which are up on the screen: "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The teachers themselves are astonished at the words and the boldness of these ordinary, unschooled men. And it's because they've encountered in them people who've been enabled to teach the truths of God beyond themselves, people with the spiritual gift of teaching. So I believe that's what Paul is meaning when he writes about this spiritual gift of teaching in the list of gifts that we read at the beginning of our service. Men and women gifted by the Spirit to teach the truths of God. People who love the Word of God, who love to read it, to love to hear God speak to them through it. People who are open to the leading of the Spirit in their own lives and who are gifted to pass on what they receive to other people through their teaching so that other people hear it and see it and get it and are changed through it. And it's all enabled by and empowered by and taken to another level by the Holy Spirit. Now, that gifting may lead to it being expressed in different settings. It may mean upfront kind of teaching. It may be in a small group. It may be one-to-one with people. It may be with children and young people. It may be with internationals. But it is teaching the truth of God gifted by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure if we all stop and think back for a minute, we can remember moments when we have experienced this. A moment when we know that God has spoken to us through the teaching of somebody else. Maybe it was the moment that you came to faith. Some reason the things that you were hearing no longer were just informing your mind, they touched your heart in a new way. You heard God speak to you through the words of somebody else. Maybe it was in a time when you were listening to some teaching or to some preaching. Maybe a passage from the Bible that you'd heard or even read yourself many times before. But on that occasion, there was just something about it. Something about the illustration that that preacher used or the way that he or she explained it or just because the Holy Spirit was anointing them as a teacher that you hear something new that you've never seen or never heard in that passage before. Because that person has the spiritual gift of teaching the truth of God. I think that's what we're talking about. That's how to recognize this gift. So secondly, well, what's the reason that God gives it? Why does God give the gift of teaching? What's the purpose of it? And I think this is the purpose of it, because everybody needs teaching. Everybody. People who don't yet know the Lord, who are not in a relationship with Jesus, need people to teach them God's truth and the good news of the gospel. Did you notice in that last reading that we read from Acts chapter 4, Peter and John speaking to all these people, finished with these words, "But many who heard the message, who heard their teaching, believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Teaching inspired by the Holy Spirit brought those people to faith, and it still does. People who don't yet know the Lord need teachers. But also God's people. Those of us who know and who love him, we all need teaching too. And Paul spells this out in Ephesians chapter 4. And I think this shows why this gift is the gift of teaching God's truth. It says this: It was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." These different groups of people, including teachers, are given to the church by God because the church, us, we need them to help us to learn and to grow towards maturity and the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Everything that God has for us, everything that God wants to give us, to teach us, to develop in us. Does anybody feel that they're there yet? That they've arrived? I know that I don't. And so I need to receive from people who are gifted for those roles in the church, including gifted teachers. And when it comes to teaching, people who can help me, help us to learn about God, about who he is, about what he has done, about what he is doing now, about what he will do in the future. To learn about his purposes for his creation and for his church and for me as part of that and for us as part of that. I need people who speak God's truth to me, who are gifted to teach, to help me to learn. And I believe we all do too. Now, we'll come to the responsibility on teachers in a moment, but I think this point puts a responsibility on all of us that we need to be teachable. The reason God has given us teachers is because we need to learn, and therefore we need to be willing to learn. The first description of the early church we read in Acts chapter 2 says these words about the early believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we often quote these words, don't we, when we're thinking about the pattern of church or what does it take to make church? What are the important building blocks for church to be kind of qualified to be called church? And we all say, yes, we need good teaching. That needs to be part of it. And we do, that's right. But are we ready to receive it? Are we willing to be teachable? Could this be true of us that we are devoted to the teaching of those who have the spiritual gift of teaching amongst us? Are we ready to listen and to learn and to receive and to apply and to change God's word to us? Are we teachable? But it's not just us who have a responsibility. Those with a spiritual gift of teaching have a responsibility too. It comes with a warning. In James chapter 3, we read these words. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. There's a responsibility which comes with the gift of teaching that we all need to take seriously, whether this is our gift or not. Those who have a gift of teaching, those who assume that position or somehow that's recognized in them in the life of the church, have a position of influencing God's people. And we're all human. And we all have the ability to quench the Spirit within us. We have the potential to lead people astray, to teach things that are just not true, or to teach only half the truth, not the whole truth. We all have the potential to speak with wrong motives, to try and make a name for ourselves rather than lifting up the name of Jesus. And for all of us, it's possible for us to live in such a way that what we teach is just cancelled out by the way that we live. Actions do speak louder than words so often. James says those who assume this kind of role will be judged more strictly because they have the potential to influence God's people. And so people with this spiritual gift of teaching need to be careful in the way that they do it and the way that they live. And we see an example of this spelled out in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we read the words of an older, more experienced teacher to a younger, less experienced teacher, Paul writing to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. He says this, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely." Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Teachers, we need to watch our lives, and we need to work at our teaching. It's not the fact that if you have a spiritual gift of teaching that somehow you receive a download each time you get up to speak and the words just kind of come out of your mouth with no preparation whatsoever. There are people within the Christian church who would say that, that this is a spiritual gift and I will speak as the Spirit leads. I don't need to do any preparation. I've even heard people say, in the Bible, God spoke through a donkey, so I'm sure that he can speak through me if I'm open to his Holy Spirit. My response to that was, if you really believe that, then next Sunday, put a donkey in your pulpit and see what happens. Teachers, we need to work at this under the guidance and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In preaching classes at Bible College, one of the little things that they shared with us was this: when you're thinking about preparing, working at your teaching, read yourself full, think yourself clear, pray yourself hot, and then let yourself go. Now, there's a lot of yourself in there, as if it's all about us, and that's not what I'm saying, but I love the sentiment of that, because I think it agrees with what Paul says to Timothy. We need to work at this, be diligent at this, do our bit in this, under the empowering and the guiding and the influencing of the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility, and we need to take it seriously. But also, you know, as hearers, even those people who do not feel they have the gift of teaching themselves, I think this means we have a responsibility to pray for those who do, that they will teach well, that they will be faithful to God and his truth, that they will preach with right motives, that they will live the life. They will walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Because we are in a battle and we have an enemy who loves to disgrace good teachers or to deceive them, because it strips their teaching of its power and of its truth. Our teachers need our prayers. I need your prayers. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not some kind of constant heavy burden that we feel kind of weighed down under the weight of responsibility of doing teaching. I think one of the marks of the gift of people with teaching is that they love it. They love reading God's word. They love studying it and understanding it and applying it and living it and teaching it and seeing people's lives changed through it. It is a massive privilege to teach God's truth. It is a big responsibility, but it is also just a joy. And I love it. And I know those with the gift of teaching will love it too. So what is our response to what we've heard this morning about this spiritual gift of teaching God's truth? Well, for those of us who think this is not me, this is not my gift, some things for you to take away. First of all, I'd encourage you to be thankful in your prayers for those who have this gift. Let's all be thankful to God, because they're a gift to us. And we can't grow and we can't mature and we can't learn in the same way without them. Be prayerful. Pray that the teachers amongst us will use their gift wisely and well, that they will embrace the responsibility, they will use the gift for the glory of God and for the building up of us, his people. I want to encourage us all to be teachable, to be ready to learn, to come to places where you know you're going to receive some teaching, either here or a small group or wherever it might be, ready to learn God's truth that our teachers bring to us, to receive it, to apply it into our lives, to put it into practice, that we will be like the man who built his house on the rock, who put God's word into practice, not the man who put it on the sand, who heard it all, didn't put it into practice, and whose life fell apart. I want to encourage us all to be encouraging. It can be a lonely role sometimes, being a teacher. And it's incumbent upon us to encourage our teachers. And there's nothing more encouraging than telling them how God spoke to you through something that they taught, or how your life has changed, that you have done something differently as a result of their teaching and what God spoke to you through them. And also, I'd encourage you to be open to the gifts that God may want to give you, because this may be one of them. When Johnny spoke a couple of weeks ago, he got us all, didn't he, to think, and a number of us to stand up and say, are you open to God giving you new gifts in your life? And I'd want to encourage you to be open and pray, is this one of them? And if you sense that God's saying something to you about this, then come and see Johnny or me. We'd love to pray more with you about that. What about those of us who feel that we do have this gift of teaching? Well, I want to encourage us all to be thankful, to embrace it. It is a responsibility, but it is a joy. And there is nothing less inspiring than a tired-sounding teacher who you can just tell really doesn't want to be there doing it. So if this is your gift, and if you're going to kind of step up to this, then embrace it wholeheartedly and give it everything you've got. Be prayerful. Everything we do is not just about our own effort. It needs to be taught and guided and inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It all needs to be soaked in prayer. So if you're a teacher, you also need to be a prayer. Thirdly, be teachable too. We all need to continue to work at this, to continue to learn, to continue to listen to God ourselves in all areas of our life, in our teaching, in trying to improve that, but in everything else as well. We need to be teachable too. Fourthly, be encouraged. If you're using this gift, then you are doing a good thing. Even if you feel like you're not getting much kind of return or seeing much fruit for your labor, be encouraged. If the Spirit has given you this gift and you're using it, then you're doing a good thing. And then finally, be open to what God wants to say through you. Don't come to the Bible, to teaching God's word, with your own agenda and just trying to find things in the Bible that agree with you. Be open to God's words. And be ready to teach things that are hard to hear, as well as those things that people love to hear. Be faithful to God's truth. All of us teach at some level in some area of our lives. Some of us have the spiritual gift of teaching God's truth. And we want to thank God for it and for those who have it, because we all need it. Let's pray. And we're just going to be quiet for a couple of minutes just to allow God's Spirit to speak to us. And I want to encourage us all initially just to be open to God speaking to us about this gift for ourselves. Is this something that God wants to give to you? To teach His truth, to bring His truth alive to people. And just ask Him, is this something that you have for me? And if you sense that, then as I said a minute ago, then do come and see Johnny or come and see me. We would love to pray with you and talk with you more about that. If you know that you have this gift of teaching God's truth, then pray for fresh anointing, fresh empowering on your use of it. If you think, no, this isn't my gift, then just think about how teachable are you, how encouraging are you, how much do you pray for our teachers. Holy Spirit, we ask, would you speak to us now? Father God, we thank you that you give your church the spiritual gift of teaching your truth. We thank you for those who embrace the responsibility of that gifting, and we pray that you would speak to us through them, that you would continue to do that. And we pray that you would release more of that gift amongst us, that we may all be equipped to serve you and be changed to be more like you. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If the band could come back up, we're going to sing one final song, a song which is full of God's truth and reminds us of the unique place of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's sing this song together. My Jesus, my Savior, there is no one like you.